plus 49.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Yes, this is plus 49. Don't be fooled by the voice. Sadly, our dear host Sigrid has come down with a cold, as I'm sure many of you have too. This is the season after all. So, gute Besserung to you, Sigrid, and everyone else out there battling with the winter sniffles. But don't worry, we've got an exciting show lined up for you today. We'll be diving into the latest news from Berlin and beyond. Plus, we've got an interview with the founders of Codetasker, a very useful platform that connects people needing quick and reliable help with skilled professionals looking for flexible work opportunities, and maybe even a cheat code on how to avoid long queues at Berghain. So sit back and enjoy this episode. Let's start. Let's dive right into today's news segment. After slashing 130 million euros from this year's budget, Berlin plans to cut another 50 million in 2026. Theaters, opera houses, and concert halls are warning of fewer productions and higher ticket prices. Protests have already forced some reversals, but the reality is clear. Berlin's cultural institutions are being forced to tighten their belts. And speaking of change, new figures from the Status shed light on the languages spoken in Germany's homes. 17% of households are bilingual, with most speaking a language other than German as their primary tongue. Meanwhile, 6% of households speak no German at home at all, a number that jumps to 24% in migration background households. Turkish, Russian, and Arabic are the most common languages spoken alongside or instead of German. And finally, Germany's election campaign has been dominated by heated debates on migration. But now hospitals are pushing back. A video from Darmstadt Klinikum has gone viral, showing how essential foreign workers are to the healthcare system. In the clip, staff members disappear one by one, making it clear that without migration, hospitals simply wouldn't function. Their message is clear: vote for humanity. This comes as hospitals across Germany are already facing severe staff shortages, something we already covered last week. Actually, 1 in 5 doctors in Brandenburg is non-German, yet the country still has nearly 47,400 unfilled healthcare positions. The response to the video has been overwhelmingly positive, but it also highlights how anti-immigration rhetoric impacts real people, even skilled professionals. That's it for today's news. And as the show is pre-recorded, sadly we don't know the results of the election yet, but we'll definitely dive into them and what they mean for Germany in an upcoming episode. So stay tuned. With everything going on in the world, I think we could all use a good dose of gute Stimmung right now. And lucky for us, it's the perfect time of the year. Because Carnival, Fasching, Fasnacht, or whatever you call it, is just around the corner. But what's the story behind this wild and colorful tradition? Let's take a closer look. Carnival has been around for centuries, with origins tracing back to ancient times. The Romans, for example, had their Saturnalia festival. The Babylonians celebrated a similar event, and medieval Europe embraced the idea of social reversal, where commoners could mock the ruling class without consequences. By the Middle Ages, the tradition had firmly taken root in Christian Europe as a way to enjoy one last feast before the strict fasting of Lent. Nowadays, depending on where you are in Germany, Carnival goes by different names. In the southwest regions, such as Palatinate or Baden-Württemberg, where I'm actually from, we call it Fasnacht or Fasnet, which translates to the night before fasting. In Bavaria and parts of Saxony, you'll hear Fasching, derived from Fastenschank, meaning last serving of alcohol before Lent. However, in Cologne, which is rightly regarded as the hub of carnival celebrations in Germany, it's referred to as Karneval, originating from the Latin phrase Carnevale, meaning farewell to meet. This city hosts some of the largest and most vibrant festivities, drawing crowds from near and far. But what exactly are people doing at Carnival? Well, there are several key traditions that define carnival festivities. First up and most important are the costumes. Dressing up is essential. Whether you choose to be witch, fool, or something entirely unique, everyone gets involved in the fun. And while Halloween in Germany usually focuses more on scary costumes, at carnival there are really no limits to your creativity. Then there are also parades, where colorful floats roll through streets while revelers toss sweets into cheering crowds. And another important aspect is carnival calls, regional greetings that vary widely. While in Cologne you shout Allah, in Düsseldorf it's hello. Using the wrong greeting can even lead to some lighthearted tension among locals, so don't mix them up. And don't forget about carnival sessions, which feature music, dance, and some sharp political satire aimed at public figures who often find themselves as targets of jokes, and sometimes even join in on the fun themselves. Finally, no carnival celebration would be complete without indulging in traditional foods like Krapfen or Berliner, again something that every region calls differently, and other sweet pastries enjoyed, especially on Schmutziger Donnerstag. So wherever you find yourself in Germany, during this festive season, especially if you're lucky enough to be in Cologne, embrace the spirit of carnival. Join in on the fun and enjoy all that this vibrant celebration has to offer. A laugh and happy celebrating.
It is a snowy day in Berlin, and of course we're not doing this live, but I think when snow arrives in Berlin, everybody's like super happy and excited, and then you realize that you have to go out and then something breaks in your house and you have absolutely no idea what you have to do or who you can call. And maybe our guest today can tell us who and how can we call you. So first of all, Tarek, Amelia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having us and yes, for this nice intro.
Thank you for having us. We're happy to be here.
You felt that, right? That part of you're running out of your house and then a lamp breaks and you're like, then now what? I cannot go to IKEA. I have no idea how to repair this. I have no idea who can help me with this. But you have a great solution for this.
Right. That's completely right. We have the perfect solution for that. So not only it's hard to contact someone, also if you find someone, they will take so much time to come. You would already had a lot of problems in your life until you get the help you need. So we, our platform CoTasker, can help you with that. So CoTasker is a platform where you as a client, if you need help with the service, you can find it easy, fast, and safe. So if you need help with a task, you can just simply post a task ad, describe what you need. It takes you less than a minute. And then quickly, I believe less than 5 minutes, you will receive multiple offers with different prices from verified contractors. You can communicate, find the right contractor, and then book it safely through our platform. Of course, you are protected all the way from the beginning until the end. And yeah, that's CoTasker. So Amelia, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, definitely. So I'd love to just pick up on two things that were just mentioned. You know, in those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, who do I call in this moment? Like, I've just spilled something all over the floor, there's glass all over the floor, and it happens to me all the time. You know, just those moments like, God, just someone help me. And I think with CoTasker, it's perfect because you don't need to call anyone and you don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to open 50,000 tabs on search. You can just simply go on your phone, post in less than, I don't know how long it takes, I think less than a minute these days, and you can find people and people come to you to help, which is really nice. You know, people can come and give you different prices and offers, and it's as simple as that in these crazy, stressful life situations that happen.
Right, agreed. The good thing about it is that it's not only platform where you can just like book without communicating. You can also get advice on your tasks. You can communicate, build a human connection when it's needed. Some tasks you cannot, you don't want just to book someone randomly from their profile. You need to communicate with them, discuss. And that's really important factor in CoTasker, because you can communicate, book the right person that you feel also connected with.
That is important.
Yes, indeed.
This human connection is something I think that everybody is looking for, and especially because once you feel like someone understood you and catches you, then you are also feeling at ease with whatever the task you have to do at the moment.
Right, right, 100%. Also, and then when I come to your house, some tasks need also, it's not only handiwork or cleaning. There are other things. You need assistant to help you with something. Maybe some things need creativity. So the human connection is very important in such cases.
Definitely. And we've had really amazing tasks on the platform. Our main categories are home services, which can be anything from cleaning or electrical or redecorating, as well as moving house. But also we've had tasks in the past that really require that human connection, human touch. For example, we've had people remove gum that's been stuck in their hair and they have no one to call, and there's a piece of gum in the back of their head, you know, someone needs to come and help. Or for example, anything, we've had crazy tasks like a boat driver for a boat party in Berlin on one summer, which seems so long ago now.
And Berghain queue. So we had someone needed multiple, I think, needed someone to stand on the queue for Berghain. So it's a task. So it's a thing, which is great. It's we're very happy that this, not only to help the community, this, our goal is to actually make a platform that's helpful. So, yeah.
We're back with Amelia and Tarek from Codetasker, and they already gave us one insider tip. So you want to go to Berghain, but you don't want to freeze out, especially right now, standing in line. So you can ask someone to do that for you.
Right.
Has this come in another moment? Or is it like regular stuff like cleaning or helping out with the electricians?
Yeah, so the main thing is in our platform is the home improvements, like painting house, renovations, assembly furniture. There's a lot of assembly. It's like because it's a long, the task takes a lot of time and you just need it to be done. There is moving home, like if you need to move your house, you need a person with van, basically on cleaning. But we had also on the side this task, like anything you need, basically anything legal. So anything you want that is legal, you could
very important.
Yeah, point. you could potentially find it on Codetasker. Like some person needed, they had a spider in their house, they needed to take it away. Yes. Just things random which you don't know where to go, and you could come to Codetasker. So
I think this is also it's a very powerful platform, especially for people that come new to a city and maybe they've just come by themselves. Like we both did, we came here with no friends, no family. And sometimes you're just in those situations like, I just need someone to come help me now. I would have loved to have called my grandpa in that moment, but he's not here. And so I need this fixed. I need this done. I just need someone, please. Right. And yeah, we really love that we can facilitate that help and connect people in a nice way.
Right. There's another aspect which I think is worth to mention. So basically, how is the idea came of it? It was, there's also other side, which you can also, as a professional, if you have a moving company, cleaner, freelancer, you can offer services and earn money flexibly. So this is how the idea came of Codetasker. So when I came here to Germany, I came as a refugee and after losing everything in my home. And I was able to offer freelancing work because I needed to support my income and I wanted to earn money fast. And I couldn't find anything. It was really hard. There's no platforms that are professional enough for me. And I was even scammed once in a platform. And then the idea came where I wanted to create a platform where to make offering services. You can earn money fast, easy, safe, and just a safe platform for you. And the idea came and this is so. And then I met Amelia, and Amelia, you could say if you like.
Yeah, just struggling with anything in the house or that required me to pick up the phone and try to get a good deal on anything in German. My German was just, hello, wie geht's, alles gut, genau. And so when something breaks in your house, like your washing machine, it's like, how do I say this in German? I have no idea. Please, somebody help me. So yes, our problems combined was the inspiration for Codetasker.
Amelia and Tarek from Codetasker. Of course, we want to know, besides Berlin, which is the obvious choice, where else can we find you?
So at the moment, we are available in 5 cities around Germany: Berlin, Hamburg, Potsdam, Munich, Frankfurt. And very soon, we are expanding to the rest of Germany. Basically, we're going to be available nationwide, but mostly in the key cities. So it's going to be 23 key cities. But that's it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're really excited to expand CoTasker and share it to the rest of Germany, because we found people got help nicely and safely and enjoyed it. And also people earned money and also enjoyed that. So expanding it just only makes sense.
So if someone is out there and wants to work or wants to offer anything from their part, what can they do? How can they enroll in this process? Is everything for everyone available, or do you require a certain specific amount of information?
Yeah, so we in CoTasker, you need to offer services, you have to go through a verification process, which you go through the process in order to ensure of, first of all, safety and background, make sure that everything is legit. Also, qualifications. So depending what you want to offer. So, of course, you could be offering just freelancing, regular services that doesn't need a certification. Then you're verified, but you will only be allowed to offer these services. But if you want to offer, let's say, electrical work or more advanced services that require qualifications, then of course certification is required. So there is a whole process that the contractor goes through to ensure that they are actually applying for tasks they're qualified for.
Is the key language German, English, or anything?
Both. So we started in English, but we have both languages. Our app platform is available in both languages. We have also translation features. So when you communicate with each other, so they can communicate and translate tasks, translate text. I think it's both languages.
Yes, I think something that's really nice about the translation feature on the app is it solves a problem that we had at the beginning when we moved here. And it's really hard to communicate. And you need to just take a second. And instead of being on the phone, like I mentioned earlier, you can take a second with your messages. There's many people that come to Germany that have great skills, businesses, services that they want to offer, but they really struggle because they're just learning German, for example, but they have great skills. So yeah, it's been really helpful for both sides of our marketplace.
Before we let you go, what was your personal story that brought you to the point where you said, I need help, I need something to solve this?
Definitely. So for me, I came to Berlin about 6 years ago. Like I mentioned earlier, I came because I really loved Berlin. And honestly, I wanted to escape the UK before Brexit. I was like, I need to get out of here fast. And I came here. I didn't know anyone. And I really needed help with multiple things in my house. Like I said, I didn't know who to call. I didn't know who to ask. Going on online groups just didn't seem right. And you don't know who's going to come to your house. There's no reviews. There's no verification. And so something like this was really missing for me back then, and no platform out there managed to like hit the nail on the head with all the different areas that I really needed, it being safe, it having good prices, it also being fast, and there was just nothing out there. So that was my side of the story. I think Tarek's side is a little bit more dramatic than me trying to leave the UK before Brexit, I must say. But
thank you. So I think I mentioned it earlier, but I came here after losing my home. I wanted to start a new life, and Germany was a great option for me to come. And I came here, I arrived, I had to start my life from scratch because I lost everything. And as soon as I came, I wanted to offer my services and start to understand the culture and also support my income. And that's when I got the idea of CoTasker. So for me, it was first about offering services. But then after life come, I started my first company. And back then I also started to see the problem of understand the culture and the problem of if you need help with the service. And then I exit my company and I met Emilia, and then we talked about it and we both put our energy together to start it. But yeah, that's how that happened.
Congratulations. I think you have an amazing product. I am 100% positive that there are going to be a lot of people very interested in it, and also not only for asking for help, but also offering help. We're having this conversation about Germany and offering help. And Tarek, you said that you came here as a refugee, starting from scratch. And I wanted to put this as a context because in the situation that we are at, where there's a lot of skepticism about refugees and migration, I do want to stress out that migration process is something very complicated for a lot of people, that many of us and many people have not done it because they just believe that, haha, it's going to be funny. I do believe that there are a lot of things that push you towards leaving your hometown and making and putting yourself in another place where you're new, where you don't know how the rules are. And we're not only talking about the constitutional rules, but also the cultural rules. And I do want to stress this out because what you have done right now with Codetasker is exactly not only putting yourselves out there and saying, we need help and this is the way that we can offer it, but also from the point of view of we're migrants and refugees and we can offer something for the German community. And for that, I really just want to congratulate you and wanted to put this on the podcast because this is really impressive, guys. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much. These words mean a lot to me. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm really glad and honored to be here. I have to say that everything was really hard. And there were some, as you can imagine, some good and bad things. But I'm thankful for all the support I received. So people have been nice and Germany have been really great to me. So I really love Germany. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We need to put it out there. We're here not only to be another number in the country, but because we also want to make positive changes to it. And I think with Codetasker, both of you are giving us and giving everybody in Germany an option. And asking for help is also part of the migration process.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
I love that part of people just asking for taking bubble gum out of the hair of someone.
Yeah, we didn't expect that, but it came. So it was supposed to be a lot of things, but not these random stuff. But it's great that it came. So great that it's helpful.
How has Berlin made you who you are today?
For me, I would say Berlin has, look, I think not everyone is as fortunate as the other people where you can just pick up your life and start again in a new city. I know many of us can say, okay, we have to do that. Like in Tarek's case, he had to leave his hometown. In other parts of the world, we can be very grateful that we can do that, that we're allowed to. And I think I can only recommend this experience for everybody once in their life, if you can, to just go, leave your comfort zone, leave everything behind, try somewhere else, take a risk. And I think Berlin, moving country to Berlin, really opened my eyes to the world, different cultures. I think it makes you more open-minded, more empathetic, more kind. You open your heart and your mind to just different ways of people thinking and acting. And I think it's a really beautiful experience. And it's definitely in the past 6 years matured me a lot. And I'm very proud of everyone that I've met and all the experiences that I had, really beautiful moments and lessons that I wouldn't have learned if I didn't leave my bubble. I mean, I lived in London, it was big, but moving country is just another level.
So for me, if I want to say if I learned something, I learned a lot of things, but one thing that is very important to say and share with everyone that, you know, doesn't matter if you came here on purpose or you came here because you left your home. I think it's always and mostly is about you and how you behave. It's not about the people who's receiving or who are doing actions against you. In every country, there are good and bad people, but it's about you. So if you really have the good energy, treating others well, being nice, being kind, helpful, then you will receive love and you will be happy in your life. If you are, I'm sorry, full of respect, bad person, you will receive bad. So I think just it's all about you.
I think we're all very full of love at the moment, which is also part of talking with everybody who's going through a migration process, being here in Germany. And thank you once again for being part of the show, the podcast. And of course, we really, really hope that once you go into the next, not only Berlin, of course, and to the other cities, that we will have you once again. And maybe in summer, when the weather is a little bit nicer, we can take a conversation about how it is to go into other cities beyond the big capitals.
We would love that.
We would love that. Thank you so much. And we're honored to be here and for everyone who would be listening. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. Then until next time.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Last 49. Ask a German.
So I think there's an obvious answer, but I just want to know the thought process behind it. So I've lived in New York. I've lived in London. I've lived in many different places. And when you have to cross the road, okay, I mean, it's obvious that you walk on a green light, you should walk then. And when it's a red light, you should not walk. But sometimes you're in a hurry, there's no cars around, there's no bikes. You can see that it's like, okay, I can go and I can like get to where I want to be like a few minutes earlier or on time. Or do I wait? Whereas in Germany, I've seen people like even at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no cars on the street, there's no one around. People just wait. And actually now I'm doing it too. I'm so integrated. I do it too. So I go to other cities with my friends in London. They're like, what are you waiting for? There's no cars. Cross. Why are you not crossing the street? I'm like, I don't know. I'm used to this now. Why? And why do people get so angry when I want to do that? I get shouted at a few times. That's why I'm not doing it anymore. I don't want to get shouted at. I'm a good person.
Yes, the infamous German wait for the green light. It might seem overly cautious, especially when the streets are empty. But it's deeply rooted in German culture and their strict adherence to rules and structure. There's even a humorous saying in German, Rotgänger, Todgänger, which translates to red walker, dead walker, implying that if you cross on a red light, you'll meet your end. While it's obviously an exaggeration, it reflects the seriousness with which Germans take traffic laws. And it's not just about safety. It's about a sense of order. Germans value predictability and efficiency, and following traffic signals, even when there's no car in sight, is part of that. Even at 3 a.m., when the streets are completely empty, the instinct is to wait for the green light, because it's the rule, and rules are meant to be followed after all. There's also a kind of social pressure at play. If you're the only one who crosses when it's red, you might feel like you're doing something wrong, or even get shouted at in your case. And that surely isn't a comfortable feeling for many.
Yeah, so for me, I'm just wondering about the origins of something which I hear a lot and I never was able to get. So there is a word people say when they meet, they say, na, du.
Yeah.
And I would love to know, just not in a funny way or something, I think it's a cute word, but just where is the origin of it? So where did it come from? Because it's never, I studied German until really good advanced level and I never heard anything about this.
Yeah,
I even asked multiple times, like few German friends, and they don't know. They just say, they don't know what's the origin of it. So
what is the na?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the question.
I think na is one of those quintessential German expressions that can mean so many different things depending on the situation and tone. It's almost impossible to pin down. I think at its core, it's an informal conversational interjection that's commonly used to greet someone or to check in on how things are going. For example, na, wie geht's? So how's it going? Or just na as a casual greeting, much like hey or what's up in English. It's an easygoing, informal way to start a conversation, often used when you haven't seen someone for a while or just want to casually acknowledge them. In some ways, na seems to have evolved from nu or nun, which is an older German word meaning now. However, the usage of na has a sort of verbal cue, could have been a way to soften or prompt the beginning of a conversation. Over time, nah has become kind of a filler word that doesn't always have a fixed meaning but signals engagement, interest, or even impatience in some cases. Kind of like well or so in English. I think this is a fascinating example of how language adapts to cultural nuances and how a simple word can create connection and meaning in so many different ways. And that wraps up this week's episode of Plus 49. A huge thank you to our guests Amelia and Tarek for sharing their inspiring journey, and of course to all of you for tuning in. Next week, we'll be pre-celebrating International Women's Day by highlighting some amazing women and their stories. So definitely check in again next week. Until then, take care, stay curious, and in case of Sigrid and everyone else battling those winter sniffles, get well soon.